How many of you know some needy people? Needy people. Just people that, they're your friends, but sometimes it's hard for them to be your friend, or for you to be their friend, maybe is how I wanted to say it. There are a couple of types of needy people, and you might recognize them. Is there anybody here? You can testify about the drama queen or the drama king in your life. Somebody said, I'm looking at him right now. Don't point out your neighbor if it's that person. How many in the room, you've got a friend, or maybe it's now an enemy that used to be your friend, that the biggest need they've got is they are the drama queen or king? We got some folks. We got some folks. You know the type. You know how it's like. Everything is a big deal. Everything's dramatic. Oh my gosh, do you know what happened to me in second period today? I sneezed 3 times. I think I have cancer. I think I have pneumonia. I'm dying. You know people like this? You won't believe what I saw yesterday at the mall. I saw so-and-so with so-and-so. Ah! Right? Right? They must be going out. No, they were just at the mall. How many of you know this one? The blabbermouth. The blabbermouth. These are the people, they cannot stop talking. They cannot help themselves. They cannot stop. How many of you got a friend in your life like that? Somebody that you know, maybe a former friend, somebody that you've given up on. Some of you, they're right next to you. Yep, I know that they're here because they won't stop talking this entire night. I'll watch them the whole time. They'll just talk right on over me. This is the person that maybe they just can't stop their mouth from moving and they're always going on and you don't even care about it. It's like, oh, last night I was at home and I started watching this show on YouTube, and then all of the things that came up as recommended videos, they didn't even make sense to me. I really wasn't interested in any of them, but I just kept clicking through, and then 3.5 hours later, oh, and by the way, I got a text from that person that's in our lab group in third period, and she said she didn't know how to do the homework, and so I was trying to help, and then I got on Quizlet, and when there's an ad on Quizlet that's, you know the people like that? You know some people like that? That's one type of blabbermouth, but there's another type of blabbermouth, and this one is more dangerous because this one likes to give you all the gossip. You know somebody like this? You know somebody, all the gossip, all the time. It's all it is. I mean, there's. You got a friend, let's say their name is, just give me a random name. Victor. You got a friend named Victor. And so, you know, there's telegraph, telephone, television, televictor. You know, if you want a word spread, you got to tell this certain person. And here's what you always hear. You know what I heard? You've got to keep this a secret, okay? It always starts that way, right? Don't tell anybody that I told you. Don't tell anybody that I told you. But, well, he said not to tell anybody, but, well, I wasn't supposed to say anything, but, you want to know a principle of life, you want to know a rule of life. Some of you like to take notes either on paper or on your phone. I want you to take notes. I want you to put this in all caps, whether that's writing it out or putting it in your phone in all caps. I want you to really, seriously, write this down, because if you can figure this out, at 12, 14, 18 years old, it's going to save you a lot of trouble in life. If they'll talk to you, they'll talk about you. Write it down. Write it down. If they will talk to you about somebody, they will talk about you to somebody. All it takes is for you to turn your back, not be there. How many of you have a friend like this next one? We got the drama queen or king. We've got the blabbermouth. How many of you know somebody that is insanely insecure? insanely insecure. This takes so many different forms. It's Monday. School hasn't started yet. You come in. There's that friend. I just kind of have a problem because you and all of our other friends went to Dairy Queen this weekend and I didn't get invited. Who is anyone going to Dairy Queen? Thank you. Really? In Newberry. Oh, well, then there's not much to do, right? Yeah. What else is in Newberry? I saw on Snapchat you all went to Hitchcock's and no one thought to invite me. No one thought to invite me. You know what these friends are always doing? You know what this person's always doing? Here's what they sound like. The conversation always sounds like this. Are we okay? Is something wrong? Did I do something to upset you? What did I do? But you know, insecurity takes another form too. How many of you know a particular dude in your life that can't seem to take a picture without flexing? Until there's veins popping out of their forehead. It looks like they're going to have an aneurysm. They're like, huh? You know the kind, how many of you, there's somebody in your life, you know them somewhere. So we got the drama queen or king, we got the insanely insecure, we got the blabbermouth. Oh, but this next one. Every person in the room is going to have a friend like this. We'll call them the moocher. The moocher. The moocher. You know what they're always saying? You gonna eat that? They always want your food. Get ready. Toe stepping about to happen. Hey, I need a ride over to... Oh, I'll take you. For gas money. Huh? Put gas in my car. How many of you got, like, the true moocher in your life? They are all the time. Can I borrow a dollar? Can I borrow $5? Can I borrow... Hey, I need to go to the mall. Can I borrow your mom's credit card? And then there's this moocher. Maybe this has happened to you. I think it's worse than money. They mooch off of your friends. Like, they mooch your friends. Like, you've got a group of friends, and then you befriend this person, and they come into your friend group, and then one by one, they kind of start, like, moving your BFFs to be their BFFs, and then just kind of shove you out of the way. You know what I'm talking about? You ever experience that? So we got the drama queen or king, we got the insanely insecure, we got the blabbermouth, we got the moocher. What are we going to do? Because there, isolate ourselves and turn everybody away and live alone and never go out of our house and order all of our stuff on Amazon. Huh? Oh, I thought you said that's the Matrix. Like it was kind of like that, but it looked more like that. I shouldn't do that. I'm too old to lean backward. We have this problem, right? Because we're trapped in this. We got two different sets of values that are competing. Because in one sense, we are told to be compassionate. Jesus was compassionate. He was moved. It moved his heart when people had needs. It moved himself to action when he saw people who were hurting or who were hungry or who were poor or who were maybe they were just breaking themselves with the things that they were doing and the sin that was in their life. But at the same time, how do we have that compassion but keep from getting hurt? Keep from finding ourselves in a place where we no longer have the influence to help somebody that's in need. Because every now and then, we come to a place where we can't go any further. We have to hit a stop button. And we can't go one more step with a friend who's pulling us down. So how do we do this well? I want you to turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And while you're turning there, this is the question that I think we need to ask when dealing with needy people, dealing with the friends in our life. We need to ask, how do we help in a way that's best, not just in a way that's quick? How do we help in a way that's best, not just in a way that we think is okay? And so I want to share this story with you really quick from Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to give you 3 points and we're going to be done. So if we have any blabbers in the room, I want you to focus, please, real quickly. Listen to this. Chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. I think that's kind of weird. They've got a gate called Beautiful. You know how it got its name? Like, we're going to the gate. Which gate? The beautiful one. Wait, you mean the one that's got, you know, like the painting and everything? No, that's the ugly one. Go to the one with the gold. That's the beautiful one. Go to the beautiful gate. And there's this guy. A guy is being carried there. I want you to note this. It says this man was unable to walk since birth. His entire life, he had been a burden on other people. And he probably knew it. His entire life, people had to carry him wherever he wanted to go. And they're being brought, they're taking him to the temple today. They're going to put him right next to the gate called Beautiful. And they're going to take his frail body and they're going to lay it there by the gate called Beautiful. And this is somebody that probably would have been considered very ugly in this time. And there this man is going to lay and he's going to beg. Anybody ever seen a beggar? Not like the beggars we have in this country, but I mean like in a foreign country where people are just maimed and you can tell they have absolutely no hope other than that little tin that they've got rattling some coins around in and they're waiting for someone to come by. They put him right outside this temple gate. That's brilliant. You know why it's brilliant? What are people going into the temple to do? They're going in to pray. They're going in to ask for food. For, someone said it, forgiveness. They're going to ask for forgiveness. Listen, if you know you're in sin and you're going to ask forgiveness from God, it's well worth a stop on the way by the beggar and put some money in his tin, right? Oh, let me buy some of God's goodwill right now. Cling, enjoy it. And then on into the temple we go to pray for forgiveness. And God, you're on my good side. I wonder, this is not the lesson for tonight, but I wonder how many of us still act the same way. We're like, oh, I'm going to go to church tonight. I'm going to pray tonight. I'm going to raise my hands and worship tonight because I got that test on Friday and I'm really going to be asking the big man for help. And we develop this transactional relationship between us and God that doesn't really exist. That's for another night. Back to the story. It says a man was crippled from birth. He was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful where he was put every single day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. How many of you have been there before? You have seen someone coming, you know that they're about to ask you for money, and what do? Walk on by. It's, you know, there's a, today we have an instant out, right? Oh, I'm sorry, I don't carry cash. Don't carry cash. Well, these guys, they can't do that. You know, Peter and John, and they ask, hey, Peter and John, you got any money? And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, all I've got is my Roman Republic Express. All I have is my MasterCard. We can go down to 7-Eleven here and I'll buy you something to drink, but I don't have any cash. Listen. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. This is kind of a scary scene. Then Peter said, look at us. This is frightening. Peter, so they're going along, and he says, he rattles his little coins, and he says, hey, can you give me some money? And both of these guys go, look at me. Look at me, please. Wouldn't that be terrifying? Look at us. That's what they do. You know what I think they're doing? They're trying to get this guy's full attention. There's a lot going on in this scene. There's a lot of people around. It's the temple. There's people coming and going. He's got a lot of people to ask for money. He's concerned about how much is in that little tin. He's concerned about how he's going to get home, who's going to carry me away, all this kind of stuff. And these two guys roll up on the scene, and they want his full attention. Look at me. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. You can see the smile on his face. He's getting all excited. He's like, oh, look at these guys. I think I know these guys. I think they were through here before with that guy named Jesus. Maybe they've gotten rich. I heard that one of the guys in that group got 30 pieces of silver not too long ago. Maybe they'll share. He thinks he's going to get something good. Then Peter said this. Listen to this. This is the verse we're hanging on to tonight. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. This guy just wants money. Peter knows that what he needs is something entirely different. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. He's probably dancing around like a fool. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Hang on to these words. Let me give you a couple of practical tools that you can use. How are we going to deal with the people who have very real needs in our life, but do it with wisdom and do it in a way that is best, not just in a way that's quick? Write this down. Number one, we have to be helpful without becoming dependent. Somebody say hallelujah if you know what I'm talking about. We've got to be helpful without becoming dependent. You know, there's a lot of research that's been done about this, that when somebody tries to help someone else in a relationship, they become what's called codependent. A needy person needs to be helped, and the person that's helping them needs to feel needed. You know what I mean? We do this in friendships all the time. It just sounds a little bit different in our heads. We endow somebody, I want you to be my best friend, but I need for you to be my best friend. And I'm not going to be satisfied until I'm your best friend and you're my best friend, and anything that comes in between us and us being best friends is a threat. And then sometimes you have relationships, you've probably seen these around. They're not just codependent, they commiserate. You ever seen people that are mutually miserable? It's like the most miserable person in school starts dating the second most miserable person in school, and you're like, you know what, you deserve each other. Happy for you. And they just walk around all day sad. And so we walk around being codependent, commiserating, and all of a sudden two people that were just trying to be helpful to one another find themselves trapped. How do you know that you've gotten there? It'll sound like this in your head. I wouldn't want to live without them. It will sound like this as you think it through. My life is fulfilled only because of them. It'll sound like this. I have no other friend like them. I can't find another friend like them anywhere. My life is complete because they're in it. This is how it's going to sound in your head. This is how we're going to justify it. 10th grade year. I'm going to tell a couple of stories. Is that okay? 10th grade year, we went on a trip. Our band went on a trip to Chicago. It was a horrid bus ride. Horrid bus ride. It was like 14 hours or something like that. And as we started going north, they turned the heat on the bus. And we did not know it, but inside the vents for the heat was a nest of German cockroaches. Yes. And so we're going on the bus, and people are like, oh, it's cold. And so the driver goes, taking care of it. And he flipped that switch, and it was like 30 seconds of silence, and then all of a sudden people just start to scream. People going hysterical. And it started at the back of the bus. And so the people at the front of the bus are like, what's going on? And you see it row by row, people going, ah, ah, and just, it's coming up the bus. They just took over. They're crawling on seats. They're crawling on people. Some dude's asleep, got them in their mouth. It's like, what is going on? Apocalypse. Lord, come quickly. We got to Chicago. There was this relationship that we watched blooming on the bus. We're going to say that their names, to protect the guilty, their names are Jose and Lisa. Jose and Lisa, we see that there's some interesting relationships blooming between the two of them. I'll never forget this. We're walking through a natural history museum in Chicago, Illinois, and Jose and Lisa are just a few steps ahead of us. I'm walking a few steps behind with some others of my buddies, group of us, and we witnessed this happen. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Lisa grabs Jose's hand forcefully, like, like that, and looks at him and goes, we're going out. I'm looking around at my buddies. I'm like, huh? That was so easy for him. What just happened? We didn't know. We were so confused. And they're just holding hands. What is that when they swing it? Swinging your hands? They're bowling. They're walking through the museum just swinging their hands like this. And then they won't talk to us anymore. They wouldn't talk to us. Like, once that relationship started officially, we weren't there anymore. It's the worst, yes. So this goes on the rest of the trip. We get back to Orlando, and we've got some concerns because Lisa seems to be taking all of Jose's time and all of his life. And he can't talk to his friends, and we can't get anywhere near him and all this kind of stuff. And so we had, have you ever done like a, an intervention. You ever had an intervention with a friend? So we had an intervention in the orange commons at our school. And two, our colors are orange and blue, and there were two lunchrooms, but they called them the commons for some reason. So it was blue commons, orange commons. We're in the orange one. We said, Jose, listen, I don't know that this is good for you. Don't you kind of feel like a little trapped?
Yeah.
Like you're not allowed to talk with us. Like the only reason we can talk right now is because she has a different lunch shift.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good.
I know.
Well, you ought to break up.
I can't.
Why?
She won't let me.
Well, yeah. This is why you need to.
But then I won't have a girlfriend.
So what?
I need a girlfriend.
We just had to let him go. Just had to let him go. Now it ended. It did end, like, 2 or 3 weeks later. You ever known people like that? Like, they're trapped. Maybe you have felt that way. Trapped. You get trapped. We've got to be helpful without becoming dependent. If you're trying to help somebody, you cannot need to help. I don't know if that makes sense. Let me reword that. If you're trying to help somebody, you cannot become dependent on giving the help that they need. Does that make sense now? Here's the second thing. Write this down. This is harder too. We have to be influential without being influenced. We have to be influential without being influenced. Hey, listen, right here. There are people that you can be friends with only until you begin to become like them. Hello? There are people that you can be friends with only until you begin to become like them. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I see this happen all the time. Sometimes it's in a dating relationship, missionary dating or whatever. Sometimes it's just in a regular old friendship. Well, I want to be friends with this person because I want to win them to Christ, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. I need to help them in their life. I need to help them become a more mature, responsible person. I want to help. I've heard this one. I want to help them get off drugs. I want to help them get over their family situation that's horrid. We can be friends with people, certain people, only until we begin to become like them. And then we got to figure out how to walk away. This is hard medicine, but this is true. I'll tell you another story. 11th grade year. I was in band. How many band people in the room tonight? We got some band people. All right. We got any band officers in the room? What's your position? French horn captain. I love it. Do we have any others? Others? Officers in the room? Officers? Okay, so you're French horn captain. 11th grade, we called captain section leader. So we were section leader. 11th grade, I was the baritone section leader. And I had a freshman in my section that we'll call Sam to protect the guilty. And Sam came in as a freshman, and it was like sometimes you can see the potential in people. You get it. They are going to go far. I'm watching this kid, and I'm like, this is so perfect. I see a future section leader in this dude. We start practice in the summer. He's showing up on time. He's getting work done. He's a great kid. He's showing a lot of respect. He's doing the right things. And I'm like, goodness, this kid's going to be an officer as a 10th grader if he keeps this up. And then the regular season started, and I saw who he started to become friends with. And I knew these folks quite well because we all lived in the same neighborhood. Sam lived there, and these two other guys he started becoming close with lived there, and I lived there, and I rode the bus with all these people, and so I knew what these two did when they got off the bus, or maybe I should say I knew what they sold. And one day I see this friendship blossoming. And I thought, oh no, This is a kid in my section. Better than that, he's a freshman in my section. I've got to take care of him. And so one day before a rehearsal, I sat down with Sam. I started chatting with him. I said, I'm concerned because this is what I see. You're hanging out with the wrong people. They're putting stuff in front of you that you don't need to be doing, you don't need to be thinking about, and you're not showing up on time anymore, you're coming in late, you're not prepared, you don't care, you're just mouthing off to everybody. I know that you can give more. Next year, senior year, I'm drum major. It's a Friday afternoon between school and there's a game that night, so we're going to be back to be at the game. Sam's sister says to me, if you have time this afternoon, you ought to go by the house. When you get there, don't knock. I'll make sure the front door's open. Just walk in. Now, that's intriguing. So I go home, get something to eat. I'm getting ready to go back. I drove a 1996 Oldsmobile Bravada, which is a blazer with a different nameplate on it, had brown leather seats. Yeah, 96. So I drove from my house to his house, and I got out of the car, and the moment I stepped out on the lawn, I was getting high off the fumes. Like, it was that bad. So I walk up to the door, and I turn the knob, and I walked in, and it's filled with a bunch of band kids, and their drum major just walked in unannounced to the pot party. And you want to talk about a scene. It was like the room went, oh, and everybody got still, and everybody got quiet. And all of a sudden, here comes Sam running up to me, and he goes, let's go talk. And he pulls me out the door and closes the door behind him. I said, this isn't it. This is not it. Well, yeah, you know, it's not all the time, blah, 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 blah. And he's going on and on and on. Listen, I have followed from a distance this kid all through the years. He quit band. He finished high school, but his life has just been a wreck since then. And I look back and I think all that he could have been, but for the wrong people that got in his life. My heart breaks to this day. I'm telling you a story tonight about something that happened 15 years ago, and my heart still breaks. When we are trying to be helpful, we have got to be influential without being influenced. Folks, listen to me. Listen, there are some people in your life, they need the deepest of help. You are not their savior. You will not be their savior under any circumstances. And when you start telling yourself, I see myself making the drift, but I've got to stay in this person's life because I might be the only person in their life that knows Jesus, do you think that Jesus can't get the gospel to somebody if you have to step away? You are not the Savior. You do not have to save your friends. That burden is not on you. Your job is to be faithful to tell them how they can find a Savior. Once you've done that, if you start to get dragged down their path, you have got to remove them from your circle of influence. That's just the way it is. Otherwise, you may never have that influence with anybody else ever again. We got to be influential without being influenced. Here's number three. This, and I'm done, really quick. Give people what they need, not what they think they need. You got to give people what they need, not what they think they need. And you can only do this if you're paying attention to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to guide you. Listen to verse 3. When the beggar saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, and so did John. And Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. The guy wanted money, right? And Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. This beggar thought he needed money. What he needed was a miracle. He thought he needed silver. What he needed was salvation. And Peter and John, they were discerning enough, they were listening to the Spirit enough that when he turned around and said, hey, you got a coin or two, you got something you can spare, they knew our job is not to give this guy some money so that tomorrow his life can be miserable all over again. Our job is to give this guy the message and the hope that Jesus Christ offers. That's what he truly needed. So write this down, three things, really quick. Number one, rescuing is not always helping. Remember that you are not the Savior. Number two, only Jesus solves people's needs. It may sound trite, it may sound overused, and it may even sound ridiculous, but the gospel really is the answer to every problem. You'll always end up back at the gospel. You'll always find yourself there. It is the solution that encompasses every problem in the world. Here's number three. You're going to hate when I say this. You're going to hate it. You're going to bristle. But write it down. Write it down. You're going to disagree with it. You're going to leave from here tonight saying that dude's off his rocker. You need a holy life with Jesus more than you need friends. You need a holy life with Jesus more than you need friends. I know that's not welcomed news for many of us in the room, but it's truth. I know that that's not the easy solution to whatever it is that you're dealing with in life right now. But it is the one that will pay you the most rewards. Would you bow your heads with me? In just a moment, we're going to go to our teams. There are two groups of people in the room tonight. We always have two groups of people in the room. There are people in the room, and I'm so grateful that you're here. You don't know about this Jesus stuff. Just came in tonight to give this a try, see what it was about. If that's you, welcome. Whatever issue you're going through, the answer is Jesus. I know that sounds simple, but I promise you it is not simplistic. Whatever need you're trying to meet, like this beggar trying to meet his needs by laying out beside the temple, rattling the coins. Your needs will be met in Jesus Christ. In a moment when we go to our teams, you're going to have a team leader there. If you want to know more about salvation in Christ, if you want to know more about what it means to have eternal life, to spend an eternity in heaven with Christ, if you don't know what your eternal destiny is tonight, you're going to have the opportunity to ask a team leader. They're going to share with you the gospel. Jesus Christ, Son of God, perfect life on earth, died on the cross for our sins. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, giving power over life and death. And whoever would believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. There's a second group in the room. And you identified with something in this message tonight. There may be some folks in this room you identified as one of those needy people. You see in yourself the drama king or queen, the blabbermouth. You see in yourself the insanely insecure, the moocher. Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the answer. And there are many more people, I promise. you're beginning to think about a person in your life that maybe should not be there any longer. You're becoming dependent on them. They're becoming dependent on you. You started trying to influence them, but they're just influencing you. You thought you were giving them what they needed, but they have a real need beyond what you can give.